thing on Memtest Summit Bay is the sixth line. Okay, so we're continuing with, we were summarizing the story of the four Shomrim, the various kinds of claims that they make that may be false. Yeah. And in particular focusing on what might happen if they swear a shavua to that effect. If their shavua is false, are they chayav for shavua tafikadon or not? Because we said that shavua tafikadon only applies if they're swearing that they're trying to make themselves potter where they should have been chayav. So continuing with the examples.
Which would obligate them to...
So what we said is that if they swore falsely, then when they're ready to do tshuva, then they pay the extra chomesh, the extra 25%, and they bring the asham. The only case they would do kefal is if they claim that it was stolen and it turned out that they themselves stole it.
Why would they steal their own thing?
No, it's not their own thing. It's something that somebody else gave them to watch. Okay, so actually we're holding the ninth line, rather. We're holding the ninth line. The line begins, Aniva Omar. Okay, so we talked about the Shomer Chinam, we talked about the Shoyl, where the Shomer Chinam in almost every case is going to be potter, therefore almost any claim that he makes, he's not going to be chayav for the kodim, because he would have been potter without it anyway. A Shoyl, most things that he would claim, he's going to be chayav to pay regardless, he's going to have to pay anyway, so therefore his false shavua doesn't make him any more potter than he otherwise would. If he falsely claims that it died, for example, when really it was taken captive, he's going to be chayav to pay either way, so his shavua is not accomplishing anything, because he's a shoyl, because he has full responsibility. The only way, where we said that he'd be chayav, is if he denied being a shoyl in the first place. Where the other guy says, where's my shur? And he says, any yadei ma'asach, I don't know what you're talking about. Then we would say that he's chayav for his shvuah tafikadon, because then by saying any yadei ma'asach, he would have been trying to pater himself. And like this, he really would have been chayav almost anything that happened to him. Okay, next case. So again, ninth one.
When he
wants to change it from chayav to pater, right. That's what we're going to say at the end of the meeting.
That's the only case.
Right. Okay. So, now what happens to Balabas, the owner of the thing, says to a Shomer Socher, or to a Socher, who we learned earlier in the Mishnah, and we learned back in Bava Metzia, they have a middle level of responsibility. They're responsible for if it was lost or it was stolen, but they're potter if there was an onus, if there was an unavoidable accident. So you say to them, Heichan Shori, he says, well, you say, where's my ox? It's fine. Yeah, we can find it himself. Thank you. And the Shomer Socher or the Socher answers it died, and actually Vahusha Nishbar and Nishba, and really actually it had gotten broken or taken captive, where by saying it died would be an onus. Nishbar and Nishba is also an onus, so it'd be potter either way. Or Nishba,
as if he didn't lie.
Right. In other words, as we're going to say in the Gemara whether he's chayav for Shavuos Bitri. Is he chayav just for the fact that he was chayav for Shavuos Bitri? We're going to discuss that. But as far as Shavuos HaPikadon, he's going to be potter, because either way, he would have been potter from paying once he swears. Nishbar, or he claims that it broke, Vushamethe Nishbar, and in fact it died or was taken captive, or Nishbar, he claims that it was taken captive, Vushamethe Nishbar, and really it died or was broken, Nignav, or he claims it was stolen, Vusha Ovad, and really it was, and here, now, this next group with Nignav and Ovad is the other way around. There he's going to be chayav, regardless it is, to pay, that is. If he claims Nignav, that it was stolen, that is something for which a Shomer Socher and a Socher are going to be chayav, because they have the responsibility to guard against ordinary theft. Vahusha Ovad, and in fact, it was
lost.
Yeah, right, we're talking about, right. In other words, the difference is, when we say Gneva, we usually mean that it's not an onus.
Right.
He could have prevented it in the normal way, right. Right. So Nigna, Vahusha Ovad, so he claims that it was stolen, and really, actually, it was lost. Ovad, Vahusha Nigna, or the other way around, he claims that it was lost, really, it was stolen, which in those cases, he would be chayav to pay either way, because that's a Shomer Socher is responsible for those things. Again, Mashbiach Hani, the other guy says, in all these cases, I'm making you swear, Va'oma Omen, and he answers Omen. In all those cases, he is potter from Shavuos HaPikadon, because again, one way or the other, his claim wouldn't have made any difference as far as the status of what he has to do relative to the Balabas. Either he's potter, either his claim is that he's potter and the actual facts are that he's potter, or his claim is that it makes him chayev and the actual facts would have also made him chayev, so therefore no shavuos hafikadon. Meso nishbar and nishbar. What about though if he claims that it died or was broken or taken captive, all of which are onus, all of which he would be potter for, and in fact it was stolen, in a way that's not an onus or loss. We're there if that was then yeah, not negligence, but the point is he's chayev for gneiva and aveda, right? Mashbiach hanival ma'amin, and the other guy says I'm making you swear, and he answers amen. Then he is chayev for shvuos hapikadon, because now he's trying to make himself from being chayev, he's trying to falsely claim that he's potter with his shvuah.
And how much is he chayav?
Then he's chayav the usual. When we say shvuos hapikadon, then it applies the usual rules for shvuos hapikadon. Once he does tshuva, he will be have to pay the extra. He'll have to pay the value of it, the extra 25%, the keren, the actual value, the chomesh, the 25%, and bring the korban asham. Yeah. What about it? The korban asham we said has to be worth at least two sloim.
What is it?
It's a ram. It consists of a ram. Yeah, we said it, so it's more expensive. We said the korban ol of a yored, the korban ol of a yored, even if he can afford an animal and he brings it, it's either a female sheep or a female goat. And we talked about conceivably it could cost as little as what did we say? I think a dinner or something, or a ma. I think we said a ma or something. Whereas an asham has to be two shkalim, it has to be two sloim, which is 48 times as much. Okay. What about Ovadinignav? What about the other way around? If it was lost or stolen, he claims that it was lost or stolen, which that claim would make him chayev. In fact, what happened was something that would make him potter from paying, something that he could have just sworn and been potter. Why would he do a thing like that? That's a good question, but he did. It died, or it was broken, or taken captive. No, whatever it could be. Mashbiach hanival ma'amin. The other guy says, "I'm making you swear," and he says, "Amen." Then he is potter from shvuos hapikadon, because now he's trying to. Now the facts are that he would have been potter. His claim is that he's chayev. That also doesn't make him liable for shvuos hapikadon. Zehaklal. Well, that's whether it's shvuos bitur or not. That we're going to discuss in the Gemara, but shvuos hapikadon, that's not. Zehaklal. The general rule is like this. Anybody who is changing from one case where he would be chayev to another case, like for example the case where the shoyl claims that it was lost when in fact it died, or vice versa, where either way he'd be chayev, or he's changing from one kind of potter to another, like a shoy mechinam, for example, who claims that it died when in fact it was lost, where either way he's potter. Or he changes from being potter to being chayev, like the last case we had here with the Shema Sacher, where it actually there was an onus and he falsely claims that it died, which would make him chayev. In all those cases, potter. In all those cases, he's potter from Shavuos HaPikadon. Only mechoyv l'ptur chayev. Only if he changes it. Only if he falsely claims that he's potter, when really he would have been chayev. That's the only case where he is chayev for the korban. Now, what is this? From Chayvat Aptur, that's when
the case when.
Which is, for example, let's say the Shema Sacher claiming that there was an onus, that there was an onus, for example, armed bandits, when really it was just stolen by an ordinary run of the mill guy.
And that would be.
So then he's trying to make it from Chayev to Ptur. If he had told the truth that it was stolen by a regular run of the mill Ganav, he would be Chayev, because he being a Shema Sacher is responsible for that. Right, it's not an onus. Like this, he's falsely claiming and swearing that it was an onus. He's trying to make himself potter. So then he becomes Chayev for the Shvuos HaPikadon when he's ready to do tshuva. What is this? Usually, a lot of times when a Mishnah says Zehaklal, this is the rule, a lot of times the Gemara will ask, what is that rule coming to add? Here, the Gemara is not doing that. And the Ritva explains that not necessarily is that always the case. Sometimes the Gemara just ends up telling us that, sometimes the Mishnah just ends up giving us a Zehaklal, a general rule, just to summarize. We had a huge number of details in this Mishnah, so we want to summarize it in a few words to clarify it. Then Zehaklal, then we have another klal on top of that one, another way of phrasing the rule. If any case where he's swearing in order to be lenient on himself, he's trying to exempt himself from payment where he should have been liable, chayev, then he is chayev for shvuos hapikadon. But if he's swearing to make things more stringent on himself, then he's potter. Now, what is this extra rule adding? As a matter of fact, actually, in the Yerushalmi, there's different girsois, whether you have this last one, there's different girsois among the Rishonim, whether they have only one of these rules or both of them. The Teres Chaim explains, according to the way we have it in front of us, that we have both of them. This extra one is coming to add, let's say, a scenario like this. We know, we learned back in Bava Metzia, that a Shomer, when he takes responsibility for the object, he and the owner of it can mutually agree to whatever they want, whatever unusual conditions that they want. under which he'll have responsibility. For example, we just said that a shomer socher, where he's getting paid for it, usually he's chayav for gneiva v'aveda, usually he's chayav for run-of-the-mill theft and loss, and he's potter for einsin. But conceivably, the Torah Chaim says, after all, they could make a deal between them that, you know what, let's do it the other way around in this case. I, as a Shomer Socher, am willing to accept responsibility for this, and you'll pay me. I will be potter for Gneiva V'Aveda, but I will be Chayav for Einsin. The opposite of the usual situation.
Before they do the deal, I mean,
at the time of the deal, at the time when he gives it to him, Reuven is giving his animal. Yeah, they can stipulate whatever they want. It's Shnai Shem Mamon, it's Chayim. Yeah. So
not the.
No, no, no. We're not talking about afterwards. We're talking about at the time.
No, before, but they can stipulate on the punishment.
Yeah, yeah. So they can agree. Reuven can be giving his animal to Shimon to watch,
right.
And they can agree between themselves. You know what? If Shimon will, you'll be responsible. You'll be potter if it's lost or stolen in the ordinary way. However, you will be chayav for einsin, exactly the opposite of what it would usually be. Well, now what would happen if it was lost? Now what would happen if there was an onus and he falsely claims it was lost or stolen? So that would be the opposite of the case in our Mishnah. Yet, so therefore, the last rule in our Mishnah nevertheless teaches us Obichayev because he is trying to exempt himself because under the conditions of that, under the terms of that condition that they made, he's trying to make himself from being
right.
Chayev, which he would be Chayev for Einsin, to being Potter, as he would for Gneiva V'Aveda.
So that in principle, if he was trying to make himself Chayev while he was Potter, that would work. But trying to make himself Potter when he would be Chayav, that would not work.
No, the other way around. The other way, well, when you say work, as far as Shavuos HaPikadon, in order to make him liable to Shavuos HaPikadon, it has to be that without his Shavua, that if he had sworn truthfully, or if he had stated the true fact, he would have been obligated to pay the other guy. And now, like this, with his Shavua, he's trying to make himself Potter from paying it. Right. So then that's the
if
case.
He wants to make himself Potter while he would
when
be
he
Chayav.
Should have been Chayav, right. So in other words, again, taking the Torah Chaim's example. So if you have, let's say, so they flipped around these things, they decided that in this case he'll be potter if it was stolen by an ordinary thief, but he'll be chayav if it was stolen by an armed bandit. Why they would want to do that, whatever. Let's say they wanted to do that for whatever reason. So now if it was stolen by an armed bandit, for which under these conditions he would be chayav, and he falsely claims that it was stolen by a regular thief, where therefore we make him potter, that is the case where once he does tshuva, he's going to have to bring his korban and pay the extra chomish or whatever, even though that's not included in the cases of our Mishnah. That, the Torah Chaim says, is what this last line, Zakhval, comes back. Okay. So the Gemara, Man Tana Abba Shomrim. Fine. Which Tana do we find says this concept that there are four Shomrim? Now, the obvious question is, we know. Well, we want to establish who our Mishnah is like. When we say, when our Mishnah starts by talking about the various responsibilities of the Shomrim and all the rules that it says on that basis.
The first thing that we're
No, he's asking why we didn't talk about it in Bava.
That's the first sentence in the Mishnah.
Fine, the question is, right.
We're in the first sentence of the Gemara.
Yeah, yeah.
So which Tana is
the author of our Mishnah? Meaning, in other words, we have the Machloikas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which we have in a few places in Shas.
Right.
We know the Torah spells out what the responsibilities of a Shomer Chinam, of an unpaid watchman are, of a Shomer Socher, a paid one, and of a Shoyel, a borrower. It doesn't spell out about a Socher, a renter. And you have a Machloikas about it. So which Tana is the author of our Mishnah?
That omits that.
No, that puts the socher, the renter, in the same category as far as responsibility as the shomer socher. Which Tana would say that? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ba'avur, Rav Meir. That would be according to Rav Meir.
Rav Meir would say that
the socher is in the same category as the shomer socher. With the difference, of course, the socher can use the thing because he rented it. The shomer socher can't. But other than that, they have the same responsibility. Okay, but Amalei Rava L'Rav Nachman. So Rava asks Rav Nachman, I'm questioning the assumption that the Gemara started off with the question that you had to answer. What do you mean? Who taught Abba Shomrim? Mi'ika Tana the Lefle Abba Shomrim? Do you find any Tana who doesn't hold a four Shomrim? Of course, you have four different ways. You can have an unpaid guardman. You can have an unpaid guard. You can have a paid one. You can have a borrower. You can have a renter. It's just a fact of life. What do you mean? Which Tana says that?
Everybody holds.
Right. Everybody knows that there is such a thing. Yeah. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, Hachi Kamin Allah. Right, but what I mean to say, what the Makshin meant to ask, and what I meant to answer is, Man Tana de Amash Socher, Kenoisa Socher, I mean, which Tana is it that says, that, as we said in our Mishnah, that a renter, a Socher, has the same degree of responsibility as a Noisa Socher, as a Shema Socher, as a paid watchman, That would be Omer Nachman, Omer Rav Bavur, Rav Meir. That would be specifically according to Rav Meir. Because, as we're going to see, Rav Yehuda disagrees with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, Rav Meir, if Chesham in lay, don't we find that Rav Meir says exactly the other way around? It's not. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa, but okay. Socher Kesed Mishalim, how does a Socher pay? What is his level of responsibility? Rav Meir Omer Kesham Echinam, Rav Yehuda Omer Kenoise Socher. Rav Meir says in this Braisa that he has basically the same responsibility as Shem Echinam, meaning very little responsibility. He's potter if it's lost, he's potter if it's stolen, he's potter if it's an onus, etc., etc. So therefore, what do you mean? Our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, our Mishnah said exactly the opposite.
Right.
The answer is Rav Abavur Ibchatami. Rav Abavur taught the Braisa the other way around, which in a few places, in a few other places in Shas. We had in Bava Metzia, in fact, a couple of times, where we mentioned that same point, that some of the Amoraim had a different version of this Braisa that said it the other way around, that Rav Meir is the one who says he's like a Shema Socher, and Rav Yehuda is the one who says he's like a Shema Fina. It becomes relevant as far as the question of who the halacha is like, because usually when we have Rav Meir against Rav Yehuda, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. So the original version of the Braisa would have to be what we pass it according to, unless we take the view, since our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, then that's it. We go according to it.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the question is, in that case, Hani Abba Havu, so what do you mean then, in that case, what do you mean that there were four Shomim, Shlosh Havu, on the face of it, though, it amounts to that you have three different levels of responsibility, because you have the Shem Echinam level, you have the Shem Esachar's level, which is also shared by the Socher, and you have the Shoyal level, so you only have three different levels. Why are you calling them four Shomim? The Socher, in other words, according to this, comes out as basically just a variant of the Shem Esachar. So why are you calling them four? I'm going to Nachman Reis, because you're right. Abar Shomim, Vidinei and Shlosha, means there are four types of Shomim. The fact is you have four different scenarios, paid, unpaid, borrower, renter,
but three different
dinim, three different sets of dinim, because the socher and the shem socher have basically the same degree of responsibility. The only difference is that the socher can use the thing because he rented it. The shem socher can't because he's being paid. They have the same obligations. When we learned in Bava Metzia, we talked about where Rav Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda are learning their different opinions from. The fact is, all the pasuk says is in socheru bav ischari. If he's a renter, then he comes with his wages. So what does that mean? What does that mean? That because he paid for the use of it, therefore he doesn't have as much responsibility as a shoyl. But the question is, how much responsibility does he have? That's machlokes. But the point is, so you have three different sets of dinim. The fact that a socher, okay, so you have it is true a socher is potter from mesa machmas malacha. If the thing died or got destroyed or whatever in the normal way of using it. However, we're not really considering that because that's a very rare case, and that's sort of a side thing. That's not really related. If he misuses it, he's chayev no matter what. Yeah, we learned about many examples like that in Bava Metzia. Okay. Fine. Then we said we had the various cases in the Mishnah. Amal Hashem Echinam Chola, Hechem Shari Chola, Amal Hachab Ashok Chola, Amal Hashem Echola, Hechem Shari, Amal Ha'en Yedeh Ma'atasach Chola. We had all these various cases where the Mishnah ended up saying that the person is potter from Shavuos HaPikadon. Again, because Shavuos HaPikadon only applies, and the dinim of Shavuos HaPikadon, that is, that he will be chayav of the extra 25% in the Asham, that only applies if the true facts would have made him chayav to pay, and his claim is that he's potter from paying. So,
when he wants to switch himself from
chayav to potter. Right. Amar Rav, v'cholam v'turim m'shvuas shomrim v'chayav m'shem m'shvuas bitur. So now Rav says, it is true that in each of these cases they'll be potter from shvuas hapikadon, but they will still be chayav on the grounds of shvuas bitur. Namely, the fact is they swore false shvuas.
Right.
Which now, of course, there is a difference. With a Shavuos Vitri, you're not paying the 25%. With a Shavuos Vitri, instead of an Asham, you bring a Chatos, and specifically you bring a Korban Olav Yered. You bring a variable value Chatos. either a female sheep or goat, if you can afford it. If not, then two birds, one for an Olav, one for a Chatos. If you can't afford that, then a Korban Mincha.
Pretty soft punishment.
Well,
for transgressive
violation. Yeah,
then you have to wait till you can afford something. But mincha is the least that you can bring. But
yeah, it's got to work.
Right. It's true that it's true. A Shavuos Vitri is pretty serious, but a Shavuos HaPikadon, that's what we talked about at the beginning. We talked about a few weeks ago when we started talking about Shavuos HaPikadon. I mentioned what the Chinuch says, that because Shavuos HaPikadon is something that affects another human being as well, it causes him to lose money, Therefore, the Torah treats it much more seriously.
So that's Shavuos Bitui.
Shavuos Bitui doesn't. Shavuos Bitui is, for example, I swear that I ate and I didn't eat, or vice versa. Whatever. That's not affecting somebody else. That's just between you and Hashem.
How much money is a carbon mincha?
Oh, I don't know. Less than two birds, and less than two birds, and less than a female sheep. But I don't
know. Flour is cheaper than birds. But,
yeah.
You know, how cheap was it back then?
I don't know. The fact is, I mean,
not
flour like that. Flour isn't what you bake bread with. But the fact of the matter is also usually a regular kosher mincha also includes oil and also includes levoina, which push up the cost a little bit. A mincha chote, this kind that a person brings for an avera like a korban or leviyarded, is only flour. You're not allowed to put oil in it. You're not allowed to put levoina in it. So therefore, I guess it comes out cheaper.
Yeah. Flour,
mincha chote, it's called. The mincha person who did an avera as bringing a carbon. Yeah, well, it's still a special kind of flour, but still, yeah.
Regardless of the effect on other people, shvur is a shvur.
Fine, but nevertheless.
So lenient on
okay, the, so we talked about then that after we talked about then, I think also the chinuch also says that the fact of the matter is it's true, but on the other hand, people tend to take a shvur's bitter somewhat leniently because it was much more common in those days, I guess, to swear. We see in Rambam Shlosh Brachim these days how common it was for people to make Nedarim and Shavuos, and therefore the Torah gives a person a break. The Torah is not going to make that a person has to bring a fixed value chatas every time they make a Shavuah and then break it or whatever. It would be very hard to do that, so therefore the Torah gives a person a break. Okay. Anyway, so Rav is saying that in all these cases in the Mishnah, so let's say again, you have the Shema Chinam claims that the thing was lost when really it was stolen or vice versa or whatever. We said he's potter from Shavuos HaPikadon because either way he would be potter from paying the owner of the thing. Right, he's potter from Shavuos HaPikadon, right, Shavuos, right. But in each of these cases he is going to be chayav a korban or the beyoded for Shavuos Bitui. Shmuel says he would be potter from that as well. But my community, what is the underlying machlokes? Like this, Shmuel sover less of a labba because Shmuel figures like this. When it comes to a Shavuos HaPikadon, we discussed earlier in the Masechta when we talked about Shavuos Bitui, we said that a Shavuos Bitui, a classic Shavuos Bitui, you could do either l'sha'over or labba. You could swear, for example, that I did eat and in fact you hadn't, or that I didn't eat and you had, or that I will eat and then you don't, or that I won't eat and then you do. So you have it can be either in the past or in the future. Over here, there's no in the future.
When, you also swear that you're eating and you're not.
Fine, that's right now, whatever. Okay, that would be a Shavuos Shav, though. That would be a Shavuos Shav, because we learned that if three common people realize that what you're saying is false, then it's a Shavuos Shav. That's all different. But anyway, the point is that in this case, when you're swearing, for example, that when the Shomer is swearing that I don't know what you're talking about, or that your animal died, or was lost, or stolen, or what have you, there's no way to do it labba. You can't swear that I swear that your animal will die, or will get stolen, or what have you.
Unless you're from the mafia.
Yeah, come on. One second. So the Shmuel holds, since such a Shavua is not labba, there's no way to say in the future that it will die, for example, then therefore...
That you could.
No, what do you mean? You can say
an animal will die.
No, but that it will die before you return it, not necessarily.
Before he returns it.
Right. Once he returns it, of course, it's returned.
It's
sad. Yeah, but that would be that he's going to be misusing it, then he'd be chayav, of course. But anyway, so Shmuel holds, since you can't have a Shavuos HaPikadon, lahabah, you can't have it in the future, therefore when you swear it l'sha'avar, when you swear it in the past, if it was the kind where there's no Shavuos HaPikadon, then there's no Shavuos Bitui either. A Shavuos Bitui has to be reversible. But Rav Sava Isay Balav Behem, whereas Rav says, fine, but you do have it's reversible in a different way. A person can swear that it did die or that it didn't die, that it was stolen or that it wasn't stolen. So that's enough for it to be reversible.
And
Shmuel holds, you need Labba. So the question is, why do we need the machloikas over here? We have that exact same machloikas earlier in the Masechta. The Itmar, namely, we had a discussion. Shvur Shazorak Pliny Tzur Layam, Shvur Shaloi Zorak. If one person makes a shavua that a different person did or didn't throw a rock into the ocean, is he chayav for a shavua spitzer if it turns out that wasn't the case? Rav amachayav or Shmuel amapater. Again, Rav says over there he will be chayav as a carbon, and Shmuel says he'll be potter. Rav amachayav de isa b'lav v'hein. So Rav says he'll be potter because it's reversible in the sense you're able to swear that he did throw the rock or that he didn't throw the rock, and that's enough. Or Shmuel on the pot, or Delecta Belaban. Again, Shmuel says it's
fine. We didn't throw the rock.
Right, those are two Shavuos that a person can make. A person can make a Shavuos that Pliny threw a rock, and he can make a shmur that Pliny didn't throw a rock. Whereas Shmuel says, Shmuel says he's potter because the less of a labba, because you can't have it's not relevant to talk about such a shavua for the future. You can't make a shavua that Pliny will throw a rock or won't throw a rock into the ocean. You don't control him.
So Rav would answer that.
Rav would answer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's reversible l'shaavar and labba. As long as it's reversible labahein, that's good enough.
Labahein
means yes or no. So I can swear that he did throw a rock or that he didn't throw a rock.
Right.
Shmuel requires on top of that, you have to be able to swear that he will throw a rock or he won't throw a rock, and that doesn't exist over here. So we have the exact same machloikas. Why do we need it repeated in both cases? The answer is tzvicha. We do need the machloikas to be told in both places because the iyashmin and baha, because if we were only told here at the end of the masechta that about their machloikas, we would say baha ka'amar rab, we would say that if we were told rather in the case of Shazarak Pliny Sur Layam, in the case where he threw the rock into the ocean, if we only had that one, baha means in that one. Earlier in the Masechta.
Right.
Then we would say, why does Rav say that he's chayev? Mishum deminakshe komishtaba, because he's swearing completely on his own. Nobody's obligating him to swear that Pliny threw or didn't throw a rock into the ocean. So that should make him more chayev. He should have checked out the facts before he made such a shavur. Ava b'hach, but in our case over here, at the end of the Masechta, the Beit Dina Mashbele, where he's not necessarily swearing on his own, a shavur sapikadon is typically where Beit Din makes him swear, or the other person makes him swear, eimam mordilei l'shmuel. Maybe he would agree with Shmuel, and why would that he should be poter, and why would he agree with Shmuel? Kedir Abami, he would, on the basis of what Rabami says, the Amar Rabami, because in fact, Rabami says a general rule, which we learned in Bava Metzia, that any shvua that the dayonim make you swear, if it turns out that it was a false shvua, you're not chayav for shvua spitri. So therefore, we would think that. So therefore, you could argue maybe Rav accepts that. Maybe Rav accepts that argument as well, and therefore he would say that in these cases of our Mishnah, you'd be potter. And conversely, if we were only told in our case here at the end of the Masechta, you would say Baha Ka'ama Shmuel, only over here is Shmuel saying you're potter because of Rav Ami's reason. But in the other case of the rock, where it's a purely voluntary shvur, maybe he would agree with Rav. And therefore, we need both machlokes. Gufa, getting back to what we said, Amar Abami, Kol Shvur Shadayon and Mashbiya Noisa Ein Mamashim Shvur Asmitri, we said, Rav Ami says that any Shvur that the Dayonim make you swear, if it turns out it was false, you're not chayav for a Shvur Asmitri. Now, the Halacha is not like that, by the way. The Halacha is like Rav over here, that you will be responsible for Shvur Asmitri. So in all the cases of it depends. When it's dini mominus, usually the halacha is like shmul. When it's dini isur veheter, when it's questions of whether something is also a mutter or not, or in this case, whether you have a carbon, usually the halacha is like that.
Why do we
and so it is
Rav Ami?
Because Rav Ami is taking kind of a middle position. Rav Ami is saying that when it comes to other kinds of shavuos, yes, it's fine. Rav Ami isn't addressing other kinds of shavuos. Rav Ami is saying specifically, when it comes to shavuos that are required by Beis Din, then there's no such thing as shavuos bitri in connection with them. It's shavuos hapikadon or nothing. But when it comes to other kinds of shavuos, he might agree with no, because again we're saying Rav disagrees with that. Again, in our Mishnah, when we have the Shoyma Chinam, for example, claiming that the thing was lost when really it was stolen or vice versa or whatever, we said he's potter from Shavuos HaPikadon because either way, whether it was really lost or whether it was really stolen, he will be potter from paying. Those are the rules of a Shoyma Chinam. But Rav is arguing he's going to be chayav for a Shavuos Bitri. Shmuel disagrees with that across the board. Rav Ami disagrees with that specifically when it comes to shavuos of the type of our perek, the type of our Mishnah that are imposed by Beis Din.
So Rav disagrees
with Rav Ami on that point.
Even on Shavuos Beis Din, there
even,
could be a
exactly. Exactly. So that's why we.
What
that,
would it be? I mean, the Beis Din forces him to make a shavuos. Yeah,
Beis Din forces him. He did not. That's where he did not. He knew that it was actually lost, so he shouldn't have. So he shouldn't have sworn that it was stolen, or vice versa, or whatever. It's still his responsibility. Beis Din, as usual, is going to read him the riot act and tell him, "Be careful about your shavuos because you realize what the consequences are of it, etc." Yeah. Okay. So, Gufa, getting back to what we said, Amar Abami. Okay, so anyway, I was just saying, the halacha is, in fact, like Rav, that any case which is not Shavuos HaPikadon, you will be chayav for Shavuos Bitri. In fact, the Gemara in that same sugya in Bava Metzia, where it brings this, that Rav Ami says over there, The Gemara mentions over there a scenario where you have a mission over there in Hamaskid, where you have Reuven has a cow, let's say. He rents it to Shimon. Shimon, in turn, with Reuven's permission, lends it out to Levi during that period. Later on, let's say the cow dies. I'm explaining something outside the Gemara. We're not back in the Gemara yet. Later on, the cow dies, or something happens there, whatever, and you have cases, therefore, where Shimon is making a claim what happened and Levi is making a claim what happened, and you have cases over there where both of them are going to be chayav for Shvuos HaSukkotin because they're both trying to pater themselves. You have cases where they're both going to be chayav for Shvuos Bitri because neither one is trying to pater themselves. A case where one of them is chayav for Shvuos HaSukkotin and the other one for Shvuos Bitri, and vice versa. And the Gemara mentions in that connection the point why Rabbi Yirmiya goes into all those details is to tell us not like Rabbi Ami. Because again, if we accepted Rabbi Ami's position, there would never be a Shvuos Bitri. There would never be a Shvuos Bitri involved. It's either you chayav for a Shvuos HaPikadon, you chayav the Asham, or you're not chayav anything.
Is there a case where it's not a Shvuos HaPikadon that is considered Shvuos Bitri when you call for Beis Din?
No, that's what we're saying. Well, that's what we're saying. When you're called in front of Shvuos HaPikadon or the other kinds of Shvuos, Rabbi Ami's rule applies to other kinds of Shvuos as well. It applies to all the Shvuos that we've been learning about in the last couple of prophets.
Okay.
The kinds that are Midraraisa, like for example, when Moedah B'Mikzas, the kind that are Midrabanan, like right. the various Nishvah B'Notol. Yeah, Rabbi Ami's rule would apply to all of them. Yeah.
Okay.
But Rav disagrees with that.
Okay.
Rav says that if it's a case where you're not chayav for Shvuos HaPikadon or whatever, then instead you will be chayav for Shvuos Bitri. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, good for getting back.
Exclusive. Mutually exclusive.
Right.
So we need to say something for the party?
No, we can say it over here and then because at the party I'll be saying the last couple of lines, but it's fine. I have an explanation anyway to give from the Rebbe about it. Okay, Gufer, getting back to what we said, Amar Rav Ami, kol shvur shadayonim mashbiya noisa in b'mishim b'shvuas bitri, any shvur that the dayonim impose, you're not chayav on a korban for shvuas bitri. And why is that? Shenema, because he says, because the pasuk says, oy nefesh kisi shavu levatev is fasayim. It says, or a person swears and speaks with the lips, and kisi shava implies me'asma, implies that he swears it on his own without being told to by Beis Din. How does he get that the word kisi shava necessarily means that he did it on his own? Kidir Shlokish, namely because, like Rish Lakish says, the Amr Rish Lakish, ki mishtamish ba'avil l'shonis, the word ki in Chumash or in Tanakh can have four different meanings. E dilma ella deha, it can mean if. It can e, which is if, dilma maybe, ella however, and deha because. And each one of them, in different places, not over here, but in different other places, Rashi points out that each one of them, that some of them also have sub-shadings of meaning. With an if, for example, there's also, for example, when. Yeah, very good.
I like that.
Good, okay. So therefore, so what is it? So Rav Ami understands it like this. Ki si shava, he understands the key over here to be e. If a person swears, meaning that it's an if, he has the option whether to swear or not, and it turns out that his shvur was false, then he brings a korban. Implying, but if there was no if over there, if he's being obligated by Beis Din to swear, then
distinction.
Okay, but that's how Rav Ami learned it.
That key means if.
On the other hand, so what does Shmuel say to that? Shmuel would answer, or rather, what does Rav answer to that? I should say, Rav would answer that on the other hand, no, the word key means because or that deha. Why is a person chayav a shvur? Because he swore falsely. So therefore, whether he swore voluntarily or involuntarily, either way, he's going to be chayav. So that would be the machlokes. How do we understand that word?
He is elected
according to Rav Ami, it means if, and according to Rav, it means because, which means regardless. Regardless what the reason why he did it, the fact is he did a false shvur. Okay, then we say, the last thing is, Rabbi Lazar says that in all the cases of our Mishnah, in all the various cases where we said he's potter, in all of those cases, that he mostly agrees with Rav, that they're going to be potter from Shavuot HaShomrin, they're going to be chayav with Shavuot Bitri, chutz me'eni yadei matasach the shoyel, except for the following cases. The case that we had in the Mishnah where we said, where he says to the Shoyal, where's my ox? And the Shoyal says, I don't know what you're talking about. I deny that I ever had it. Ugneva v'aveda denoisa socher. And the cases involving a Shoma socher where he claims that it was lost or stolen. V'shava socher, and a socher. Shehu chayav, in those cases, when we say in the Mishnah that he's chayav, It means in those cases when we say in the Mishnah that he's chayev, it means that he is going to be. It means that he's going to be chayev to actually pay. So therefore, there's no. When we say he's potter from Shavuot Hashomrin, he's going to be potter from Shavuot Hashomrin because he's not because he's liable to pay, and therefore his Shavuot didn't gain him anything. He's not going to be chayev for a Shavuot's bitui. All he's going to be chayev is to actually pay. Shari kofre moment, because after all, what he did is he denied money that should have gone to the other person. For example, again, the shoyl. Whatever, if he had claimed that it was lost or stolen or what have you, then in all cases he would be chayev to pay, therefore his shvuah is not accomplishing anything. When he claims, when he says, "Any idea, Martha, stop, I don't know what you're talking about," meaning I deny that I was ever a shoyl, I was never a shoyl, therefore I had no responsibility, therefore he's trying to posture himself when he should have been chayev. So in those cases, he should have been chayev, so shari kofre moment, because he's denying money, and therefore in those cases he will be chayev the shvuah sapikotin. He would be chayev of the Shavuot HaPikotin. So in most of the cases in our Mishnah, indeed, he's potter, except for, Rashi explains that Rebbe Elazar is not addressing some of the cases in our Mishnah. Rebbe Elazar is not mentioning, for example, the case in our Mishnah where he claimed falsely that it was stolen and really he himself stole it, because the Mishnah itself spelled out what he's chayev in that case. But in the other cases of our Mishnah, where sometimes it says chayev and sometimes it says potter, and it's not really so clear what it means. Does it mean chayev to pay, or does it mean chayev the carbon? So therefore, Rebbe Elazar is clarifying what's what. When he's kofrim mamon, when he's denying money, then there is going to be the carbon. When not, he may or may not be chayev for paying the other guy as his responsibility as a shomer, depending on the circumstances. And when he's potter from paying, then in those cases, he will be chayev for a shvor spitzer because it was a false shvor. Which basically agrees with Rav.
That
part agrees with Rav. Yeah.
The rest of it does not. I mean,
well, the rest of it, Rav really didn't address. So yeah, he agrees with Rav, and he's clarifying what Rav said. Hadron Allah Haba Hashem, and a slick along the Sefer Shavuos. Afterwards, during the Fevereinyan, we'll have the Sea of Mezuz Hashem. So now, it means that we're finished. So now we're going to start the Sefer Avodah Zarah.
What is this?
This is Hadron Allah Haba Hashem. We've finished. We'll return to you the Perek Haba Hashem, and a slick along the Sefer Shavuos, and we're finished the Sefer Shavuos.